rhema word for us. So I feel so strongly that the Lord has a personal message for us this morning. So I would love if you would just put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to your word. Help me to hear it. Help me to take it in. Help me to bear the fruit that you want to bring this morning. Amen. Amen. I love it. At sundown tonight, you may or may not know, Rosh Hashanah starts. It's traditionally the Jewish New Year. It's also called the Feast of Trumpets. There's actually not that much in Scripture detailing what goes on during the Feast of Trumpets. But even though the first month of the Jewish calendar year starts in the spring, the Lord said that the seventh month for you will be what they call the crown of the year, or the head of your years, the head of months, or the crown of months. So it's like their calendar starts and it goes and reaches a pinnacle at Rosh Hashanah, at the Feast of Trumpets. And so the Jews, especially modern day today, they say that this is their new year. Now, we do know, I don't like worshiping days and years and all this stuff. However, we do know for America, during Thanksgiving, what are you supposed to do? Be thankful. So we all know it stirs up a spirit of thanksgiving, and it's a time of gathering with family, and it begins a season for us Americans. The same for New Year in America, right? Around New Year, somehow, some way, we know, okay, this past year is done. It's behind me. We tend to reflect, you know, what didn't go well, what did go well. And many of us tend to make New Year resolutions or say, I'm going to be determined in my heart that this next year is going to be different than the year before. I am going to do this better. So there is a natural reset that tends to happen in our hearts around holidays and things. And that's what this was for the Jewish people, or was supposed to be. Now, I'll read one scripture. There's really only two kind of scriptures that detail what happens here, and it's not a lot. Just so you know, Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, begins on the first day of the seventh month, which is sunset tonight. Jewish days start in darkness, and they end in the light. Jewish months start in darkness at the new moon when it's dark, and they peak when it's bright. And we know that God's calendar begins in darkness with the fall of man and the rebellion of spirits against God. It is going to end in glory, in revelation, and in light. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah starts with the new moon. And if you go out tonight, you'll see there won't be a moon. You might be able to see it out there, and it's going to be hidden. It'll be in darkness. So the first day of the month, of the seventh month, is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. 10 days later is the Day of Atonement, when the national sin of Israel is atoned for. 5 days after that, on the 15th of the month, starts the Feast of Booths, and they celebrate and tabernacle for an entire week. So this is really a month of feasts and celebrations and forgiveness and repentance of sin. So let's read this scripture real fast. This is Leviticus 23:23. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial,'" so a day of rest and a day of remembering, a day of memorial, "'proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation or gathering. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Not much more is said in Scripture about what takes place. It's a holy gathering. There's going to be trumpets. It's supposed to be a day of resting and a memorial to the Lord, a day of remembrance. That's about it. So it biblically, it began as a day of celebration and remembrance and rest. But because of Israel's history, the meaning of Rosh Hashanah has actually changed a little bit. And we're going to read this scripture. It has not just become a day of rest and remembrance and celebration and a new year. It has also become a day of sorrow for past sin and a meditation on past sin. So a day of both sorrow for past sin, but also a day of hope for the joy of reconciliation that the Lord is about to do. So there's a dichotomy there, a day of sorrow over sin, but also a day of celebration and joy and hope over the reconciliation that repentance brings to God's people. Okay? How did that happen? Where did this day of sorrow and this repentance, how did that become a part of the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah? Well, Scott actually read it this morning. It's Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'll read these scriptures here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel." Now, context, Israel had been in captivity for 7 years. They came back to Jerusalem. They were oppressed. The temple was in tatters. Jerusalem didn't have walls. They were vulnerable. People were trying to rebuild their houses and hang on to their little farms, and it just didn't look well. And God sent some people, Ezra, Nehemiah, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the walls, to rededicate and rebuild the ancient ruins and have a fresh new start for the people of Israel. So here they are. The wall had just got finished literally days before this happened. And so there they are. They say, "Bring the book of the law out to us. We want to hear God's word." So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the 7th month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for this purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. As he opened it to all the people, Ezra blessed the Lord. So they read from the book of the law. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people. Now something's going on. They're gathering on this day. The wall had just finished being built, and they say, "We want to hear the law of the Lord." And they start hearing the commands of God. And all of a sudden, and we read this in the context, they realize, what day is it today? Today is supposed to be a feast. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. And the people begin to weep because they realize they had forgotten the things of God, and they realize how far they as a community had fallen from the identity and the calling that God had for them. So it goes on to say, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet. This day is holy. Don't be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Because of this event, Rosh Hashanah after that had become both a day of celebration but also a day of remembrance for them as a people that had fallen away from the Lord, and repentance fell on the people, sorrow fell on the people, but also a celebration and a joy and a hope at, wow, God is restoring us. We have been judged. We had been judged. We suffered the consequences of our own sin and captivity in Jerusalem being in tatters. But look, the Lord has rebuilt it. We've repented of our sins and He is restoring us. That's what this day is supposed to be for the Jewish people. Now, we can have that day every day as believers in Christ. We can have that day every day as believers in Christ. But this day was both a day of sorrow and joy for that hope. We are in a season in human history where God is exposing the works of darkness like never before. Maybe since the days of Noah, the time of Noah, He's exposing sin, He's exposing darkness, He's exposing the things that evil people have been doing. And it's shocking, it's frightening in some ways, it messes with our hearts. But God is bringing judgment. He is shining the light on darkness, and judgment is coming. I don't know about you, but I have felt over the last couple weeks that there is a shift in the tide. There's a shift in the tide. It seems like darkness has been winning, and I just feel like all of a sudden, boom, darkness is on its heels, and they're running, and judgment is coming. I want to leave you with this. When a judge renders judgment, is it good news or bad news? It depends on who you are, right? If you're guilty, it's bad news. So when the judge renders a verdict, if you are guilty, it's bad news for you. You are going to suffer consequences. You will have to make reparations. But if you are innocent and the judge renders judgment, that is good news for the innocent. That is good news for the righteous, because you will receive justice and recompense. God is the righteous judge. He makes judgment on our behalf. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, talking about Jesus, that when He comes, He will render judgment for the nations, and the nations will turn their swords into plows. There won't be war anymore when God comes and brings judgment. There's good judgment for righteous people, and there's bad news and judgment for the unrighteous. In the midst of all of this, God has spoken, like I said, a message by giving Diana a dream. And we wanted to make sure that you all heard it, that God's message was declared. It's more for than just this body. It's for everyone who's in Christ and not in Christ to hear it. So we're going to tag team this thing a little bit, and we'll see how this goes, but I'm going to let Diana share what the Lord has given to her. Is it on? Did you push the button? You got to hold it. Hold it. There you go. Now try.
Thank you.
No? All right. All right. Okay. Hold on.
Thank you. There we go. I was thinking this morning, I was like, okay, these are all my notes right there. And have you ever seen a piano player? And she's like playing the piano with all this beautiful music, and she's like flying all the notes everywhere. That's what I felt like with my notes. I have notes everywhere. So this is a dream that the Lord gave me. Sometimes I always say, I had a dream, but I think it's a key dream, like Pastor said, what the Lord gave me for all of us. So I'm nervous now, okay? Everybody just give, pray for grace. But I've actually been set free and delivered this morning before I came to church to bring forth this dream, because this is a revelatory dream for me, my house, and your house, and for all of us who are in the body of Christ. And I'm just so thankful that I have, that we have Stacy and Casey as our shepherds, because they are full of grace to do the call that they are called to do, and he's helping me walk through this. So I'm going to share the dream, and then I'm going to share some revelatory things that God's given me. So first before, is it okay if I speak on this a little bit? But first before, I want to say this, that this word right here, it's full of dreams. It is full of symbols. It is full of parables. It is full of mysteries. It is full of secret things of God. And who does he reveal that to? Us. So sometimes God's going to give us revelatory things on what the symbols mean, what the numbers mean. Those are God's things. They're not ours. And I just wanted to clarify that as I give you this dream. Okay, so I was working in my dream, starting my dream right now. I was working in the building, in this building, doing my normal accounting work. And in this place was also rooms where we would sleep. I was really tired, so I went to lay down. And when I got up, I went out to the outside community bathroom. Actually, it's restroom, but I was my bathroom. It was the bathroom, and it was a community bathroom outside. And without going into detail on that part, it was pretty disgusting. So then I was walking back, and as I was walking back, I got a phone call. And the phone call was my boss, and it was a man that I knew from my past, which was a pastor, and his name was Dan. And I knew that he wasn't my pastor, and so I wasn't going to call him pastor. But he said to me, hi. I said, hi. And he said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. And he goes, I'm just checking on you. I want to make sure you're okay. And I thought, wow, it was such a gentle voice. It was just such a, like, really caring about me, checking on me. And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. And I just went to lay down and take a nap, is what I said to him, because I wasn't feeling well. I want you guys to have ears to hear on every word I'm saying, okay? And I wasn't feeling well, but I'm okay. So he said, I was just checking on you, you know, to make sure you're okay. Then I came back to work, and I noticed I had sat at the wrong desk, which was my coworker. Her name was Erin. And when I got there, I realized, wait a minute, this isn't my desk, and I don't belong here. And I got up. And immediately when I got up, I'm with Bill. I feel like I'm a little drunk in the spirit a little bit. But I don't know, man, but I'm with Bill, and we're going to go shopping. And we are on, okay, so like, you know, in a big city, you know, where you have like freeways and the freeways are going this way, the freeways are going that way, and you have different lanes you have to go on this lane. Okay, so we're on lane 7 going to the right. And that's where we're going shopping. And when we pulled up, we seen a tunnel. And we pulled up, and it was a non-working tunnel. And when we pulled up to it, there we parked, and there was, okay, so here's the tunnel, right? And there's shopping, so it's not, you can't go into the tunnel and then walk into a door. So there's some shops that are on the outside of the wall, lined up against the wall. There's 3 of them. And I was like, of course, I always walk ahead of Bill. Babe, look. I'm like, babe, look at their shoes. You can buy shoes and leave your old ones. And for anybody who wants them, I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at there's quilts. There's quilts right here. Look at these quilts. And they're like ribbons, and I'm a quilter. There's beautiful quilts, and, you know, you can buy them. You know, I mean, they're just beautiful. And then Bill walks up to me. I'm going to get a little animated. So Bill walks up. So I'm standing here, and Bill walks up to me. Bill walks up to me, and he says, babe, look. And he had a I'm going to say silver, but it was like a gray metallic, beautiful package, a manly package. And there were socks in it. And Bill loves socks, but I won't get into that part. There were socks in it. He goes, babe, look. And I was like, oh, awesome, you know. And he goes, look, feel. And I'm feeling the socks, and he weeps. He starts to weep, leaned up against the wall. And I was like, babe. And the socks were white with these beautiful blue colors of blue, three stripes, right? And I said, babe, you can buy them. He goes, I already paid for them. I go, oh, my gosh, where'd you get them? I got them at Tony's. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome. All right, cool. And then we are immediately, first let me explain Bill's crying. Bill doesn't cry. He's a manly man. But he cries. He cries when he's in the presence. He does cry. But he was weeping and crying. I'm nervous, you guys. So he was weeping and crying of the gratitude of what he found. And he didn't think twice about paying for it, which is not Bill, because Bill's frugal. So when he already got them, and he was just weeping. So immediately we began driving in the car. And now we're going up the freeway, kind of the same freeway, but we're going up, and we're kind of like, you know how you have freeways? I don't know, they don't have them around here, but say if you're like in Arizona or California or wherever in those areas, you have these five-lane freeways, and then you're going up. And so you're going up kind of, right, and it's all desert. It's all, I mean, there's really, you just really can't, I didn't see any buildings, okay? So we're driving up, and I said, where are we going? To the Lord, basically. I know I was saying it. I was asking the question, where are we going? I have a relationship with the Lord in my dreams. Where are we going? And he said, we are going to the unhidden church of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we were going, there was, and I told Bill, I can never describe this. It was like an unveiling from my dream all the way up to down, a went just opening up, and the all of a sudden, you can see this church appearing, and it was appearing and appearing and appearing, and then I seen Dan, and Dan was the pastor of that church, and then I wasn't sure what was going on in my dream. In my dream, I didn't understand it, and then I woke up. So I want to break down this dream to you. So I have prophetic markers in my life. And one of them is the Olive Tav, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and last of all things, right? And Pastor Stacy, I shared this with Pastor Stacy, and he really helped me to have my eyes open to a few things in this dream. And one thing that he noticed, which I didn't catch right away, and that minute he said it to me, I was just completely just like awakened, like, oh, such with much more revelatory understanding about the dream. He said, well, man, he's in the beginning and the end of your dream. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the Olive Tav. So this man's name means God is judge. Daniel's name means God is judge. To rule, to judge, or to execute judgment. That is the name of Dan. And I thought, wow, this is powerful. And So we have that, right? And I want to share the scripture with you. Let's see, hold on just a second. Just give me a minute. Revelations 1:8. I am the Olive and the Tav, the beginning and end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the God Almighty. And what he is he called me in the dream to check on me, right? He called me. How are you doing? I was a little, because of who the person was, but God knows that when I wake up, I'm going to look at names, I'm going to look at numbers, I'm going to look at what are you speaking to me. And let me just say something to all of you. God knows you intimately, so intimately, he knows how you're going to look up a dream. He knows how you're going to do it. So he's gonna give you a dream. That's how you're gonna look it up, because he's created us, right? He knows me. I'll deliver this morning. I'll tell you that in just a minute, if I have a minute. But let me finish this real quick, okay? So, in my dream, I'm working. I am tired. I'm frustrated. I have anxiety. I know I do, because all week long, I felt like I was living this part of my life. I'm working for everything that I need, and I'm not relying on the one. I go outside of the bathroom into the community, and as Pastor was just talking about, we go outside of our camp, we go outside of our place, and what do we see? Nothing but crazy stuff in the world that's going on right now. We have all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and it's not good. It is nasty. It is filthy, like what you were saying, Pastor, this morning.
Can I say something about that? Bathrooms in dreams represent a place of cleansing. Mm-hmm. So usually if it's a bathroom in your house that you're used to using all the time, the Lord's speaking to you about a personal cleansing. But because this bathroom was not in her workplace, it was actually outside, and it was a community bathroom, and it was filthy. Mm-hmm. It represents a corporate cleansing that everyone is going through. And it's filthy when stuff is exposed. Just like I said earlier, God is exposing and cleansing things. And when nasty things come to light, it's gross. It's gross. So she's working. She's tired. She just wants to, you're looking for rest from the tiredness and the striving. Yeah. You go and experience a corporate cleansing. It represents the season that we have been in and still are a little bit. The whole world, believers, non-believers, everybody, we're all seeing the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's nasty and it's gross.
And I thought what was interesting, me and Pastor talked about this one part, but last night the Lord revealed something to me about Aaron. So when I went back to sit down in Aaron's seat, I was like, this is not my place. And I got up. But you know what I thought about? This is not our place to be. We're not to be striving. We're not to be trying to figure everything out. We're not to be in a sleep place. We're to be in the peace of God. Because Aaron's name means peace. And also, like Pastor was saying, sometimes we will get up from that peace because we don't, I don't know, you kind of explained that a little bit better than I did, if you can kind of.
Well, when you explained the dream to me, you sat down at a desk, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden realized, oh, wait, this is not my desk. Mm-hmm. This is Aaron's desk. I don't belong here.
Right.
And you got up to, like, get out of this desk. And what I was relating it to was that we're not supposed to be working from, we're not supposed to be striving. We're actually supposed to be working. She was still at work, working from a place of rest. Yeah. And that's what the Lord wants to cleanse us from, partly, is works and striving in these things that have caused us to not sit in a seat or an identity of rest and peace and work from a place of rest and peace. But in the midst of it, as Diane said, such an incredible thing that God would call her in the middle of all that she was going through, went to this nasty restroom, everyone's getting cleansed, and the God the judge, it wasn't Jesus the shepherd, you know, it wasn't Holy Spirit the comforter, it wasn't God the Father, it was God the judge.
Yep.
God the judge was calling Diane to say, I see, I know, I'm the one who brings true judgment. I want to know if you're okay. How are you doing? How are you doing? That's what the Lord is asking you and me this morning and in this season. Me, God, as the judge, want to know, how are you doing? I'm concerned for how you're doing. I care for you. Mm-hmm. I love you. I see you. I want you to be in that place of peace.
Right. And I love that God gave me this scripture too. It says Psalms 56 verse. Heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Salah, which means praise. Crescendo, like you're excited that he's judge and I'm not. He's judge, you're not. He's judge, man is not. He is judge. And it is, I think I would rather be in the hands of God and not in the hands of man. So then when Bill and I go to the freeway, right, and we're on lane 7, some of us prophetic people are kind of weird and crazy, but maybe not. I don't know. You guys all know because a lot of you are like that. Okay, but anyways, we're immediately on lane 7 and going to the right, right? So lane 7, let me look at the lane 7 for just a second. First of all, let me just share the completeness of who God is, right? He is the completion of everything that he is. 7 represents to me is one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 11:1 is that God is the 7 spirits. And who's that? Jesus is the 7, has the 7 spirits which lives in us, right? So you have the 7 spirits. You have the 7 days of creation. You have the 7 candlesticks of menorah, which represents the 7 spirits. The 7 feasts of the Lord. You have the 7 churches, the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, the 7 angels. I mean, 7. God loves the number 7. And here we are getting ready to enter into the 7th month, the first day of the Feast of Trumpets, right? And we're on that lane. We're on that lane. And the lane is going right. We are filled with his righteousness. That's where God wants us to look. This is where you're at. Like, hold on a second. This is where you're at. We're on this lane, right? And we go to a tunnel, which actually, Stacy kind of gave me an analogy of that. When you're walking into a tunnel, it's actually a transition. Now, the tunnel is not a non-working tunnel. But let me tell you about this transition that's happening, okay? This is like the heart of the whole revelatory dream. Is there are products there that can be bought, and there's a cost, right? You have to pay for the shoes. You have to pay for the quilts. And Bill bought, I hope I get this out right, Bill bought the socks, right? So I had a different revelation of it this morning. Give me a second, please. I'm looking at the clock, and so that's kind of throwing me off a little bit. I know. Okay. We're in a transition, guys. We're in a place where God is giving us a new beginning, right? We have products that we can buy that are new. That we can take on this journey with us. This morning, after listening to everybody in the prayer room, I was completely delivered of a lot of things. The first store was that you can buy shoes, and you can leave your old ones. Let's get those shoes. Let's buy them. Let's put them on. The second was a quilt, which actually represents that we're clothed in the comfort of God, in our intimate relationship that we have with him, that we are clothed with him, that he comforts us, right? Bill bought socks. He didn't think twice, let me just tell you right now. And that's a comforting too, because socks are comfort when you buy socks and you put them on your feet. But I want to share with you about these socks. These socks were white, they were pure, and they had blue, 3 stripes. And for me, I believe that's a revelatory that we have with knowing who Christ is. And I want to read a couple things that I found. I knew that that's what these means. The 3 stripes of the blue actually means revelatory, but it means the revelation of the king, priest, and the prophet, which is who? Jesus Christ, right? And the purity of who he is and the holiness, the blameless. It's just a revelatory of who he is. And remember, what do scriptures lead us to? When we read the scriptures from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, who does it talk about? Jesus Christ. So I have to look and like, God, what are these revelatory things you're saying? So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that he has already been pouring out on us, you know? And we just need to get into that place with him. And we need to get that revelation with him. We need to get in that intimate place with him. And there is a cost. There is. But I found a scripture this morning about that cost. Because I was reading this morning, I read it, and I wasn't going to read it until you read what you read this morning, Scott and Pastor. I wrote it down real quick. Let me see if I find it. Okay, I'm just going to say it. When Ezra, I think, was building the temple or whatever, he said something like, don't worry about the cost because the cost comes from the king's treasure. So the cost was already paid. We're just choosing to get in that place and receive it. And that's what Bill did. It was so precious to him. The revelation, everything that God has for us was so precious to him. And Bill represents a worshiper. And, you know, if you look at him, he's a worshiper, he's a praise worshiper. And I think Pastor has something better about that. But we're a worshiping church. And a lot of it, we have paid a cost. When we go out, there is a cost. We're going to be opposite. We're not going to be always on the, okay, so you have, I'm sorry, I'm nervous again. So you have, am I doing okay? I'm looking at Stacey. So basically, we go against the flow, right? We have a righteous standard. We have a holy standard. We have all these standards that are who God is, and that definitely goes against what everybody else says outside of our walls of who we are in the body of Christ, right? So,
can I jump in?
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously, the shoes represent our walk, and we are in a time of transition, and that number 7 lane, we're on the right path, but we're on the journey to completion. So yeah. 7, more than anything, yeah, means is complete. Yeah. So we are on a journey to completion, and along that journey to completion, the Lord is asking us to give up our old shoes, to give up our old walk,
yeah,
the way we have walked in the past. We have the opportunity, the grace is here, to lay down this morning, mm-hmm, like we did, to lay down our old walk, our old identity, our old way of thinking, and to pick up a new walk. Mm-hmm. The quilt does, it represents intimacy and comfort. Shoes are for comfort. You can, yep, walk barefoot, but they're for comfort. The quilt is for comfort. It's for warmth. It's very personal. They're handmade, tend to be. And the socks are for comfort. Socks are to keep your feet warm, but they're for comfort. And I found out through this that Bill loves socks. So everyone remember that.
Love get
Bill,
socks.
Flood Bill with socks for Christmas. But the fact that there's three items of comfort,
yeah,
three items of comfort, that the Lord is, first he checks on Diane, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Then on this journey to completion, I want to give you new shoes. I want to give you a quilt. I want to give you socks. They're available to you. And those socks, they are revelation and righteousness, mm-hmm, that comes from intimacy with Jesus,
yeah,
and Jesus being unveiled to you. But the fact that the socks came to a worshiper, mm-hmm, to a man that expresses gratitude all day long, is a sign for us that we don't just stand there and say, oh God, okay, give me your comfort.
Right.
They come when we praise. We sang a song earlier, you know, whatever comes, right now, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. This isn't the end. This isn't the end. I'm going to praise you. Mm-hmm. Whatever is going on, I'm going to,
yeah,
praise you.
Yeah.
And that's the attitude And the character that we need to have in this season is not getting overwhelmed by the world, not getting overwhelmed by circumstances, offering praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And it is a sacrifice when things are hard. It costs us something to do it when things are hard. But what we get in exchange is revelation and righteousness that brings a comfort, a peace to our walk.
Yes.
This is the main thrust of this dream, is God the judge wanting to comfort his people and let us know, I'm concerned about you. I see you. I love you. I want to impart something to you. Mm-hmm. There's peace available to you. There's comfort available to you. You're going the right way. You're going the right way.
Yeah. And I think it's important that we understand that, because there's a lot coming down the pike in these next few years, right? We need to understand that we can be comforted, and we are comforted in God, knowing who he is in our life. I totally am in agreement with that. In the scripture, it says this right here, Isaiah 51:12, I am he who comforts. He knows everything what we go through. He knows, and he is a God that comforts. How wonderful is that? I love him for that. And you know what? Then there's this five-lane freeway we're going on, right? Then we're going on the lane. We got our stuff, right? We got our shoes, we got our clothes, we got everything we're going on, right? Now we're going this lane. There's a lot. There's number five. There's a lot of stuff going on in that number, right? But this is what the Lord showed me. A life of grace, power, strength, alertness, being filled, prepared, empowered to go forth in whatever mission he has assigned you to do. Where are we going? We're going to the unhidden church of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there is a lot happening with that unhidden church. In other words, it's unhidden. I want to share one more thing with you guys, a couple more things real quick about what Jesus says about the unhidden. And watch, I probably didn't write it down. He says, there is nothing hidden that I won't reveal to my people. And I can't find the scripture. I thought I wrote it down. And what I kept thinking too, and I'm almost done, but what I kept thinking too is that these last few, not before, but when Pastor was talking about the heart, remember the heart sermon that he did? That was so, man, that's how God is, right? He reveals our hearts to us because he's God and he loves us and he wants our hearts to be right with him, for him. He wants our hearts to be healed. He wants our hearts to have those things. Right here it says in Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ is revealed, then we are revealed. And Christ has been revealed in us, right? And then just one more. Did you want to say something? And then, Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. But I put all the words of his scripture, all the words of who he is. He reveals it to us, to our sons, and to our daughters. And I want you all to be encouraged that, you know what, let's not us no longer think, oh man, I don't know if I'm this, or I don't know if I'm the right. You are the righteousness of God. You are a son and daughter of God. Okay, one more thing. Revelation means, in the Greek, uncovering, unveiling, and disclosure. The Lord reveals his mysteries of who he is in the revelation that he gives us through our intimacy we have with him. He is unveiling his church, and he cares about us.
Yeah, as she drove down the road of grace, she saw an unfolding church, a church that was hidden before. And it unfolded right before her very eyes. And he was the leader and the pastor of that church. Dan, the judge, God the judge. If you read Revelation, that's really what it talks about. Read Revelation 22 in the Passion Translation. Claire read it this morning, and oh my goodness, wow. It was amazing. But God is speaking to his people as the judge. Judgment is coming to this world. It's either good news or bad news. It's either good news or bad news. It's great news to the righteous. It's bad news to the unrighteous. But we are on that journey, and God the judge is bringing judgment on your behalf, on the church's behalf. Creation knows who God is. When Jesus got on the donkey on Palm Sunday and the Pharisees were rebuking him for letting people worship him, he said, if they don't do this, the very rocks will cry out. The rocks know who Jesus is. Creation knows who Jesus is, but in Romans, it says that all of creation is groaning for the unveiling, for the revelation, same word in the book of Revelation, for the apocalypse of what? For the sons and daughters to be unveiled. That's what creation is groaning for. Creation is not groaning for a revelation, an unveiling of Jesus Christ. They already know. Creation is groaning because creation's destiny is tied to God's people, to us. It's tied to us. And wherever, however we go, that's how creation goes. That's how the world goes. Creation is groaning for us as sons and daughters to be unveiled, one to ourselves, but two to the world. And God the judge is standing there in the midst of it, and he says, this is what I am doing in this season right now. This is where you all are headed if you stay on the right path. I am unveiling my true body, my true church to this world, and you will be a part of it. He's the judge at the beginning. He's the judge at the end. That's encouraging, amazing news to me. But I feel like this is the thrust of the message this morning. In the midst of all of that's going on, God sees you. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. He knows the fight that you are fighting. He cares. He knows, and he is calling. He's calling out to you. How are you doing? He's offering that divine exchange of our thanksgiving, our worship, our focus and love and attention on him. When we are tempted to be self-centered and care about ourselves and our needs and what's going on with our families and everything else, to turn from being inward focused to outward focused to Christ focused and giving him our thanksgiving, giving him our worship. A sacrifice of praise, as David spoke about. There's a divine exchange in that moment. We get peace for our walk. We get a new walk. We get comfort in our walk. And we get, as we give up our old ways, we get put on the road of grace. And our future is very, very, very bright. The future of this world is very, very, very bright. Why don't you guys stand real quick? Hillary, would you mind jumping on the keys for me real quick? That'd be awesome. I just want to give you an opportunity to respond because I know things get busy, we get distracted, we get hungry. I want us not to pass up this moment to just give the Lord our thanksgiving and our praise, but also to receive what he wants to give, his concern and his peace. If you've been thinking in your heart, God doesn't see me, God doesn't care, he does. Tell him, sorry, Lord. I was wrong. You love me. You care. You're concerned. And if you want to come and just do some divine transactions, maybe lay down some old shoes for some new ones, come and pay for some new comforting socks or a comforting quilt, The God of comfort, the judge, is here to render judgment on your behalf. His peace is available to receive. Amen. So if that's you, if you want to make a transaction, just come on up here. If you need to receive some of that peace or comfort, just come again. God's been doing that already. He's faithful.